This is John Buckman of State Fire Training. We're here today to talk to several very well-known fire service leaders. Janet Wilmoth, who is the editor of Fire Chief Magazine. Tim Wall, who's the chair of the Volunteer and Combination Officer section of the International Association of Fire Chiefs. And Fred Windisch, who is the Board of Director representative for the Volunteer and Combination Officer section. Janet, you've written many editorials and many articles about safety. And I think one of your issues is seatbelts. Can you talk a little bit about why seatbelts are important?
I think it starts back in probably, it was about 10 or 11 years ago, and Lieutenant L.C. Merrill was, Chicago Fire Department was ejected and killed instantly. And 3 days later, day before his funeral, I was walking out on lunch, State Street in Chicago, and I saw a fire truck go by, and it had an open cab, and one of the guys was leaning off the back seat, staring at some girls or something. And it just, it blew my mind that, you know, here they are getting ready to bury one of their own who died because he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And the lesson, it didn't make a difference. And I found that very frustrating, and wrote a letter to the Chicago Tribune about it. Got published, had some feedback, and then got called by Chicago Fire Department. Ultimately, we published our first seatbelt poster. And from there, it's been kind of a no-brainer. Every year we lose almost a dozen firefighters, whether they're volunteer, combination, or career, because they don't buckle their seatbelts. And to me, it's pointless.
It's really silly that for people today to not take a personal responsibility and take care of themselves first. And that's really what a seatbelt is about. It's taking care of themselves first, and then hopefully the driver will drive safely.
That's right.
This is Fred, and there's many beliefs in there in the leadership arena about how do you implement policy regarding seatbelts. You know, the fact of the matter is that the fire chief must have the strength and courage to pass a chief's order, or write that chief's order and say, you will wear your seatbelt or you will be suspended, and stick to your guns. It's ultimately important that the fire chief set that tone and enforce those rules all the time, every time, 100%.
Tim Wall stating feedback on Fred's is, but it's also the buy-in from the officer and the membership. That's got to be a group effort that we protect ourselves, and if you're not seatbelted or protected, you look over, lean over and say, seatbelt, protective gear, make sure you're wearing your seatbelt and along with your protective gear.
Yeah, the seatbelt is really not, it's really not about you. It's about the people that you will leave behind. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you did a poster a couple years ago, and you still see that in fire stations. It's still up there trying to impact people to think about what's going to happen to them if they don't wear their seatbelt. I mean, you can read the reports, you can read the Fallen Firefighters Foundation information about why firefighters die, and it's sad that today we still have people who will not wear a seatbelt. And Fred's comment about having the courage to be a leader is critically important, especially in the volunteer system where it's like you want to always be their buddy. Well, you don't want to bury your buddy. You really want your buddy to go home to their family.
Well, it came through pretty clear a couple years ago when Stone Park Fire Department T-boned into a North Lake fire truck outside Chicago, and the chief of the department was following behind, and he watched the truck get hit, and the firefighter that was sitting in the passenger side was killed. And it hit him really hard that if he had been wearing his seatbelt, he would have been fine, and he didn't. And that's a tough lesson to learn. It's a hard way to understand, and the chief has gone on the road and tried to deliver that message, and I think he gets mixed reactions, honestly.
Well, as Gordon Graham says, if it's predictable, it's preventable. And when you don't wear your seatbelt, it's predictable what's going to happen. Someday, may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but someday you'll be involved in an accident where that seatbelt will save your life. Tim, did you have something? All right. Well, it is critically important for those people who are listening that they make sure that they wear their seatbelt, but they also make sure if they're in a leadership position, make sure that they wear their seatbelt. Make sure they wear their protective clothing.
Well, John, it's not the leadership role. It's or an officer. It's your responsibility.
You're individual.
Individual. And you look over, protect your brother, your sister. We're all in this together, and just participate.
And this is Fred again, and I'm really getting tired of, even in our own department, you know, I catch one occasionally, and it's usually on the front end before we get moving, because we have a rule that says the driver will ask if everyone's belted, and sure enough, someone will be before we move that apparatus. But that's not the point of my discussion here. I'm really tired of hearing the excuses. I can't put my mask on. I can't put my coat on. I can't put my air bottle on. I'm tired of it. I don't want to hear it. It is all about your personal safety. Just do it. Just do it.
That's a good point. And that's a great way to, I think, end this segment here on seatbelt use and, you know, making sure that you wear it, make sure your partners wear it, your brothers wear it. So I know, Tim, you're a big proponent for mandatory training for volunteer and career firefighters.
Yes, and I just think you look at what works in your system. And you can go to the standards and try to meet them, and that's not the point of my statement. It's today's day and age of the fire service where a new recruit, when you give he or she the information or their gear and say, just get on the rig, evaluate what works in your department, monitorily, whether you start before you can respond, benchmark firefighter one, benchmark EMS personnel being MRT, EMS, because that takes, or that goes to a lot of safety standards or safety issues that would make the personnel safer from what they learn if you take the basic firefighter one or something in EMS, EMT, MRT for your safety precautions. Instead of just, okay, here's your gear, tone goes off, the bell rings, jump on the rig. So what works best in your department? Get some feedback from some membership, come up with a training program. Doesn't have to be 400 hours. It's just what works in your department, how you do your drills. Do you do it once a week, twice a week? Set a goal, set a standard, what works for you.
Well, Tim, that what works for you is a critical message here, because large career fire department doesn't have the same training needs as a small, all-volunteer staff fire department. So you have to look at what works for you. What are your needs? What is, you know, OSHA says that you have to train an employee to do the work. And that's really what you're talking about, is examine what you ask of those people and then train them to do it.
Yes, and take it to another level in the training. You know, look at the fit testing, the physicals. Sure, there's a cost factor, but look into it. Evaluate it. There's ways that you can get it done that makes your firefighter safer and also improves your fire department on what you're trying to deliver to your customers.
Janet, when you, you've been the editor of Fire Chief Magazine for how long?
This is my second time, and it'll be 10 years in November.
So, you travel a lot, you talk to a lot of fire chiefs and firefighters all over. Where do you see mandatory training in fire departments? Where do you see that issue?
I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's protection. I think chiefs have the liability, the risk factor of, you know, the possibility of having people out there that don't know what they're doing and they're not trained. I think liability issue is just, you know, there's no end to it. I would think that it'd be something that they'd definitely want to implement.
Yeah, that's the good message there is it's a no-brainer, and it really is. This is about common sense. Making sure that your people are trained to do what you're going to ask them to do when the emergency comes up.
And I picked up on a key word there called liability. That's one of my hot buttons. You know, it's not really liability, it's responsibility. The fire chief of today has the responsibility to create and maintain a quality-based response system. And if we focus on quality versus quantity, we will be much better off in the long run. I can tell you that my beliefs have changed as I've become older and supposedly more wise. I think that today a fire chief must not allow new members to respond until they have at least a basic level of sorts. And I'm not talking about standards and all that, but they've got to be able to do the basics. It's just not right. It is not responsible to send people out to emergencies with no basic training, just like in the military. Call it that.
Yeah, you know, and it's ironic that, and again, talking for those smaller volunteer fire departments, they will have rules that say you have to cut the grass, you have to do truck checks, you have to sweep the floor, clean the fire station out monthly, weekly, whatever that is. But they don't have a rule that says you have to attend training or you have to be competent in what it is that we expect you to do. And I know one volunteer fire department, that's the only rule they have, is you have to attend training. They don't say you got to sweep the floor. You have to attend training. You don't have to make runs, but you will attend training.
And going around the table with getting some feedback, you look at it and you have to document your training and keep records for liability, for if something goes wrong, you have some documentation of training, what was taught, who was taught, and who reached that level of competency. You know, whether you say it's a standard, whether you say it's a certification, but it's documented.
Well, it's a great topic today. I know we've been going here a little bit, so I want to thank Janet Wilmot, editor of Fire Chief Magazine, Tim Wall, chairman of the Volunteer and Combination Officer Section, and Fred Windisch, board member for the Volunteer and Combination Officer Section to the International Association of Fire Chiefs, for sitting down and talking with me today.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.